from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, on a really nice looking fall Wednesday morning. Great to be with you on 94 WIP. So we got this Twitter poll question, and it's going to be a big decision for Rob Thompson to make in the next couple weeks. And we're giving you the chance to weigh in on it today. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. Poll question. As of now, who do you think should be the Phillies' third starter in the postseason? Is it A, Christopher Sanchez, or B, Ranger Suarez? Now, I've gone on record today saying I'd go Ranger. John has said Sanchez. James, you have said Sanchez. Rhea, which would you say?
Sanchez.
Okay, and Devin, where are you at?
Right now, Sanchez.
Okay. John, that's an 80-20 split in this room. How do you think people voted online?
I think that Topper would probably go Ranger along with you, but I think the majority are going to say Christopher Sanchez, like 70% say Sanchez.
So good.
Well done. 73% say Chris Sanchez. Well, what?
Pretty good. I'm always impressed.
The man is a machine. Look, let's hope Ranger can get back in gear because, you know, I mean this in all due respect to Sanchez. Ranger at his best is better than Sanchez at his best. So, you know, let's get him in better gear. We'll see. And he's got a couple weeks to prove it.
Sanchez
I don't
has
know
been
about that, man. Sanchez
at his
best. I mean, Sanchez has better stuff. Without a doubt.
Not April through June 5.
But again, I think that was
the best pitcher in baseball.
It was unsustainable.
Ranger at his best. I mean, how can you say Christopher Sanchez can be better than Ranger at his best when Ranger is better than everybody this year?
I think Sanchez can be that good for a couple month stretch. Sanchez's stuff is definitely better.
Look, he's a good pitcher. The good thing is you got four good pitchers. The problem is one of them's not pitching well right now. And I'd also like to see Nola just a little sharpen it up, you know. But we've seen this before from Nola when it's not the greatest September, and, you know, then he starts rocking and rolling in October.
He knows how to dial it in.
Look, I will say this. He does, but I also remember 2022 when he was dialed in for the first two or three starts in the postseason and then wasn't thereafter. That was part of what
it felt like
turned
he wore down.
Game 6, I think it was, against the Diamondbacks last postseason.
Last year.
He was not.
He had 6 and Ranger had 7. I mean, those two guys that we were totally in on lost games. Now, granted, Ranger didn't get to go long because Rob Thompson pulled him out pretty quick. But, of course, the bats didn't do much. All right, Ed and
Phoenix. But don't you realize, they think about that. They dream about those games. Since those games have happened, they have troubled.
Yeah, but so do the other teams. So do the
Where that drives them in the offseason.
But so do the Dodgers and Braves who lost the last couple of years.
It really does matter. And when you worry nonstop about these teams losing and then losing again, I'm telling you, it helps in the battle when you lose because you're going to be that much more committed the next year in your preparation.
Well, wouldn't that mean the Braves are really committed?
Yes, but we have the veterans where enough guys
have been there
and prepared. Yeah, but they're all banged up.
Well, so do the Dodgers.
Ours are healthier.
You think the Dodgers players
go.
Aren't hungry?
No, of course they are. Ours are special in this facet.
Oh, okay.
This year it really does feel
we got the special ones. Well, we'll see. All right, Mike Quick in about 5 minutes. Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, what's happening, pal?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, Ed.
So, interesting comp with Zach Bond switching from Sam to middle linebacker. I think something similar was done with Reddick, but in kind of opposite directions.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
But then, so at least at 2 points. Like, one, I mean, what a brilliant, find by Vic Fangio, but also, what an indictment on the scouting to, put a guy like Reddick at middle linebacker.
Totally, man.
Same thing with the Saints.
Bad job with Bryce Huff.
Well, that's a different... You're saying Reddick 7 years ago.
Out of position,
I agree with you. But look, I'll say this. Some guys, it's hard to totally see it sometimes. You know? I mean, because...
Especially the tweener guys. Reddick is a tweener guy.
That's what I mean. That's right.
That's why people stay away from the tweener guys. They just don't have quite enough. You know, it's like hitting it to the warning track every time.
The ultimate tweener in sports history is Clarence Weatherspoon. Is he a power forward? Is he a small forward?
Spoon.
He had like the girth of a power forward.
Yeah, the upper
but
body.
But he had the height of a small forward.
Yeah, you're right.
And he had no shooting ability.
No, other than that.
And he
fantastic.
Could do stuff around the rim. The problem is he got blocked 37 times a game. So.
Sounds like a great guy to pick in the top 10.
But we all loved him. But,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah, he's a try-hard guy. All right, Ed, what do you got?
Yeah, and also on the with Jalen Hurts, I've been very critical of him. You know, some of it's warranted, some of it isn't. But, you know, it's irrefutable that outside of maybe the first 2 years of his career, you know, going back to Alabama, he had Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, O.J. Howard. Like, you know, so he's failed with a dearth of stars. I mean, with the opposite of dearth, with an abundance of stars before. So, you know, I'm really, you know, it really is a week-by-week thing with me. Like, I need to see more progress week two, week three, especially with the decision-making.
I agree.
Well, the positive on that, Ed, is I do think they're doing a lot of teaching. And that's for everyone with this offense. Everyone needs to learn it. And they will continue to harp on the things he needs to know and focus on. And I think you'll see an improvement every week.
Ed, I'll be fascinated. First off, let's hope he plays better and plays better soon. I'll be very interested if he does not. When people that are defending him.
I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine.
You couldn't imagine it with Carson, and then you saw it. So, yeah. You know, and it does happen. I mean, look at Deshaun Watson. Now, granted, Hurts is way better than that. But, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, well, his
thing. He didn't play for a long time.
That one is somewhat
explained. There was a huge layoff.
No, I agree with that. But I'm just saying there are regressions in sports that are surprising. And, Ed, give me an answer here. Who did something ridiculous?
How about when Andy McPhail said, if we don't, we don't?
That's a good answer,
that was,
man.
There are very few times my phone blows up for statements. And I just remember because it was a Friday afternoon, I think, and I was out to lunch. And I said, I'll listen to the news conference when I get home. I didn't have to. It was the craziest line ever.
You know, there's some guys you just had to clear out. You had to get rid of Odubel. You had to get rid of McPhail.
Correct.
Like, we could not have the vibe in our town with our baseball team.
No.
You could have 24 of the same players, but if Odubel was on the team and you could have a similar front office, but if McPhail was in the front office, it wouldn't be the same. I mean, sometimes you just got to get rid of guys. And, you know, that stuff had to go. All right, Mike Quick. So Mike has been a huge part of our show for, I don't know how many years, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, including last year with the morning show. We love having Mike on, and he's going to join us every single Wednesday at this time.
Mike is sponsored by Bet Parks. Visit Parks Grill, Liberty Bell Gastro Pub, live comedy at Club 360, headliners at the Excite Center, Parks Casino. You must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He certainly had enough time to golf over the last 6 months. Time for Mike to get to work. And of course, he always comes into the tremendous song, Michael Jackson, and a Jackson 5. Quick Six, how you been, pal?
Hey, man, I'm doing great.
Is that golf score going down or going up? I mean, you're getting a little older, so where's that score headed these days?
Wow.
Wait, what?
I'm not being me if I don't take shots at guests. You know, I mean, you're guests, but you're guests. That, you know, I make you remove the shoes when you walk in the house. You know, I'm one of those guests. I hate
do
those.
You really?
No, I hate those guys. You gotta take your shoes off. All right, you know, I'm out.
I don't want to come to your house.
I'm going home.
Don't tell me when I get to your house. Tell me before, and I choose not to go.
That's right. All right, Mike. Great having you on the show now, and we look forward to a phenomenal season with you. Hopefully, all the way to mid-Feb. So. What'd you make of it the other day? There was a lot going on. Let's start quarterback. Jalen's performance, some really good, some not so good. How do you think it netted out?
I know you're talking a lot about quarterback, and I get it. And how did it net out? I thought overall it was kind of middle of the road, probably a little better than middle of the road. I thought he played well. He had certainly some glaring mistakes that we're all going to talk about and hash over, but for the most part, I thought he played well. I thought that, I mean, there's a lot that he's taken on now, and there's a lot to it, and I thought that he did well, given the fact that you don't have a preseason, you don't really get to see people moving around live. You don't get to see like that post-snap where guys are adjusting. Doing it in practice is nothing even close to what they're doing when the game actually starts. So you're going to have some early mistakes. You're going to have to work through probably the first three games, maybe even four games, before this thing really starts to look like the coaches want it to look. So with all that said, they scored 34 points with all that said. And, yes, I know he has a lot of weapons around him. But they scored 34 points and they won the game. And Jalen's at quarterback, so that should say something.
Why is it when the quarterback is not perfect, Mike, Joe panics and decides that he's bad at football?
Well, that's Joe.
No, I'm just kidding. How much better is Jalen because of the new offensive coordinator and the new offense? Like, how much better chance does this give him?
John, I think he's going to be way better.
Me too.
This is a mature, professional offense that has a lot of the elements in it that gives the quarterback a lot of indicators, gives him a lot of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. With emotion, things like that. Like, before the snap even happens, he has a better plan because Kellen Moore's given him a better plan.
That is exactly right. And with the motion, with some of the formations, you get a lot of indicators in it. I think it really puts these guys who are really talented in positions where you're going to create matchups. The game is about creating these matchups, and when you create favorable matchups, you stand a really good chance of being successful with plays. Take the Saquon Barkley play. That's a perfect example of utilizing motion, creating this matchup where you've got your running back on a linebacker where you know you got a chance to win. That's what this offense gives you, and it gives the quarterback these indicators pre-snap so that you can make things like this happen.
How close is Jalen to trusting the pocket, to trusting the protection? We know that he didn't have it last year, and this year he was breaking the pocket early, to my eyes. How close is he to actually getting that grooved in?
Same. He's breaking the pocket still a little bit early, and that's something that he's going to have to get comfortable with, and trusting that these guys, that he's going to be able to step up. And I think early in the game there is the interception down the middle of the field where he wasn't able to step up. When things like that happen early in the game, you kind of lose that trust. But he's going to have to gain the trust that these guys are going to protect him, hang in that pocket a little bit longer, and execute the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a major issue. You know, I'm not joking here. I was thinking as you're answering that question, Mike, about in one of those Rocky movies when Mick makes Rocky tie his left arm so that he can only punch with his right arm, meaning, like, work on what you're not as good at. I wish, Mike, there was, and you can't do this, obviously, in football, but almost like Jalen, you're not allowed to leave. Like, if you weren't allowed to leave the pocket, then you would get better.
Now you can't go.
Yeah, now you can't go.
Leave, yeah.
Chaz Palminteri. Like, you'd have to either step up in the pocket or throw the ball away. But Mike, you experienced this with Randall, you know, as when you were playing with him. I mean, when a player has the ability to be so elusive, and they've had that for years, they lean into that, and that's a hard habit to break.
I agree. It's a tough habit to break, but I do believe that it's one that you can. I thought that during the training camp it was much better, and expecting to see that in real life, in real time, is just not realistic. So I think he really has to spend more time on task to get better at it. And there's no other way to do it. You can't practice that. You can practice it, but it doesn't necessarily spill over until you just make yourself do it.
And if they can't tackle you to the ground in practice, there's only so much you can truly replicate. Right. I mean, it's football, but it's not really football, because if they can't tackle you, then it's not the same thing.
Well, then you need to replicate playing real football in practice.
But John, you don't want Jalen Carter to be able to tackle Jalen Hurts in practice, do you?
No.
Well, then there you go.
I think when I listened to Bill Belichick some years ago, he talked about the first three, four games of the season when you really start to understand who your football team is, what you actually can do, because the preseason just does not give you – the preseason is false. Mm. It's a lie. And pretty much just like the first game of the season. Like, every team in the National Football League right now, just like we are – they're talking about all the mistakes that their team made. They're talking about what went wrong and how this has to get better, and et cetera, et cetera. It's the first week. We can't have such a knee-jerk reaction that everything hinges on the first week.
So if the first week is a lie, what is the truth that you can extract from the first week? Mike Quick, what is the top truth from the dishonest first week of football?
So we have a really good, in my mind, coordinator on both sides of the ball, talented players on both sides of the ball, and as this thing starts to work, mature, I think we're going to enjoy a really good season because of those things.
I agree.
I totally agree with you, Mike.
Yep. Mike, let's talk about the head coach. So I have been very impressed over the last 2 months or so with Sirianni not being, as far as I can tell, ego-driven to get in the way as things change. Not every head coach with accomplishment would have been so gracious. Look, maybe you didn't have a choice and the owner just said, dude, you're going to step aside and that's the only way you keep your job. But
I think that's what happened.
I do too, but I also know guys could still be difficult in that process. I mean, once he's named the coach,
he's still not like locked into this job. Like, why would he be difficult if he can get canned after week seven?
No, well, he's not going to get canned after week seven. And Mike, I think he's taken the high road in a way that impresses me with him as an individual. What do you, you know this a lot more than we do. You're closer to it. How do you think he's dealing with the adjustments?
I love it when you two go at it.
I love when John tries to tell me something about football. I mean, come on. I'll say it a different way. I love when John tries to tell me something about human dynamics. And that's the hammer's wheelhouse. But anyway, all right, Mike. How do you how do you think he's handling it?
So I think that Nick's really growing as a head coach. I like the way he's handling the dynamics. I like the way he's running this football team. I like watching him. I like watching him grow and mature as a head coach. You know, a lot of the things that he does, we don't get to see. A lot of things are behind the scenes, but I think he's really stepping into his own. And I think in time, we're going to realize that this guy can handle the spot that he's in, and he's going to be really good at the spot that he's in.
I'm glad you think so. Yeah. So Mike, let's go receiver here. You know, a lot of times we go heavy focus with you on wide receiver. We all know the top two. Dotson, I think, is the third. But how good is he? You've seen him from afar for a couple years when he was down in D.C. What do you make of Dotson? What does he bring to the table? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses?
I think right off the top, you think about his speed and his ability to get down the field. I thought at Penn State, he caught the ball really well. I think he's a good fit as a third receiver. Now, don't forget you have Big Johnny on this team as well. So he's going to be thrown in Mick Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a huge part of things, Mike, because his ability to block and his ability to throw everything out of whack because the defense has to match personnel and they don't know how to match him if he's out there and we're choosing to block with him.
That's exactly right. But Dotson, I just think he brings an element that really opens up the field for everybody else. Not that AJ can't get deep on you, not that Devontae can't get deep on you, but I think with Dotson's ability to blow the top off of the defense, these two guys can do so much damage working underneath that.
Mike, is Covey an option at this point in the passing game? Or is it going to require an injury or two for him to get real run with real snaps on offense?
Yeah, I think when you have the top three that you have and they're playing well, I don't think that there's going to be much space for Britt Covey to get burned. But if you get in a situation where you need him, I actually have grown to like him in the slot. When he first came into the league, I'm thinking there's no way that this guy can ever get on the field and play wide receiver. Well, I see it differently now.
I agree.
From what I watched over the past year and then certainly what I saw in the preseason, and the preseason is the preseason, but I understand now that if you need him, and especially in that working the inside, because he's so sudden with his movement, and that's what gets you separation. When you have that ability to just snap it off suddenly, It's hard for a defender to stay up with that. And he's a smart guy. He'll understand how to work within the zone and run away from guys when you have to run away. Yes, I think so he is there is a possibility that he could play.
That's just very specific packages, though, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Like, this isn't like Julian Edelman out there getting 90% of the snaps. It's the Britton Covey package that it's going to be 10 plays in a game potentially, correct?
I agree with that. Very limited, yes. Yeah.
Mike, who is the second best running back on this football team?
Ooh, that's a good one. I still think Kenny Gainwell is really good. I do. I think he does a lot of great things. You know, Shipley, we haven't seen enough of. I know that he's a talent, but I know Kenny Gainwell has already proven to me that he can be really good, and especially with this offensive line.
It's incredible that they all are really well versed in catching the football. You know, like normally it feels like we've got some backs who can catch, some backs who can't. This year we only kept three. And they can all do it all.
Well, and the Eagles had that for years. I mean, when you go back to Byers and you talk about Ricky Water.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And you talk about Brian Westbrook and you talk about LeSean McCoy. I mean, those four were all phenomenal at it. And then it just all kind of fell apart.
Yeah, but now there's no one
although Corey
who's
Clement
not
in the Super Bowl.
Good at catching.
Let me tell you something about that Super Bowl. You know what play a lot of people forget?
Yeah, the touchdown to Clement, or are you talking about the big run?
No. Well, yeah, it's a run. The screen pass
to
Corey
Clement. Yeah, the catch and run.
I mean, the Philly special doesn't happen if he doesn't get like 60
massive,
yards. Before.
Massive
I mean,
play.
That was unbelievable. You know who called that play as the analyst? Mike Quick.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. All right. Hey, Mike, we really did look forward to having a great season with you, and we really appreciate it. I still don't understand why you choose to be a part of this show. But God bless you, my man, and buckle up for the next bunch of months.
We're very appreciative.
We'll have some fun. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
There he is, Mike Quick. 215-592-9494. All right, a bunch of calls up ahead, plus time's yours on 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss it.
Ah, it's a bad boy. It's Leroy Brown. Bad boy!
Little south side of Chicago.
What a tremendous song.
Great song.
All right, I'm going to give everyone a recommendation. If you ever get the chance, watch the VH1 Behind the Music of Jim Croce. It is the best. Of all those many VH1 Behind the Musics, it was the best. Now let's find out if Devin was even old enough to know about VH1's Behind the Music.
Of course I was.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Yeah, better question. Do you know who Jim Croce is?
Yes, I do. Well, no.
There we go.
Immediately goes to Pat Croce.
They are related.
They are related.
Yeah, so what is who?
Well, distant cousins.
Okay.
Croce was big in the 70s.
The guy, that song, obviously, Jim Croce.
It was a folksy kind of sound. It was sort of like a little bit like John Denver in that.
Oh, yeah.
I know who John Denver is.
Right?
So right.
Like, also died in a plane crash.
Yeah, you wouldn't call it like pop music. It's certainly not like classic rock.
Man.
Yeah.
It's not country. It's just got this kind of folksy feel to it.
Wow. You're right. John. Yeah. Wow. John Denver nails it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
And you know what? They
look
both. They
the
Richie's so shocked that he made a music.
I am. That's a really and good analogy.
And,
like,
and didn't they both die in the plane crash?
Yeah, it's a Regis that. That's crazy.
Yeah,
he built. Mm. John Denver built a light plane. Like, I'd never fly a plane that I built.
Mm.
I wouldn't fly a plane that you built either.
That's a good plan.
That's true. All right, let's get to Castellanos. So he was ticked last night after the moment. Now, let's get to the second of our two pieces of audio related to Castellanos, because he had already earlier in his scrum, it's what you call it when media members are, you know, hanging around a player and getting some audio from him. So he, or written quotes, he had already talked about that he had sensed that this pitcher was about to drill him. And then he continued on, and Castellanos' aggravation was still very high after the game.
You obviously were a little pissed off, too, once what you thought was going to happen did.
Yeah, I just told him I was bullshit.
That kind of summed it up.
You know, I mean, it's you're throwing a baseball over 90 miles an hour, and you're frustrated, and you're gonna throw at somebody. You know, that's like my 2-year-old throwing a fit because I take away his dessert before he's finished.
Great analogy.
But who, is he taking his? Why are you taking your kid's dessert?
He actually
away before
referenced
it's
finished. It.
Well, that part was strange. You would think it's more like you don't get the dessert until you finish.
He had a follow-up question. Yeah, and he said he doesn't like his kids to have a lot of sweets, which is fair.
Okay,
we were just talking about too much sugar in the commercial breaks.
But then why put it in front of?
Yeah, that's or true. Why not give him a smaller portion or something? So you have to like take it away from them.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Bad parenting.
Speaking of sweets, I was a bad boy last night.
Like Leroy Brown.
I, for the first time, I just, the Snickers.
Oh, right, because you Snickers, you cut out sweets, didn't you?
Chocolate,
right?
So, apparently I said sweets on the air, but I meant to say chocolate, whatever. Mm. So, but the intent was chocolate, and last night I went to the Snickers bar, bag of bars.
Oh, got you. I was like, the Snickers bar, is that a new thing?
I had thrown out the Twix bar, I threw them out. Twix bars,
wow.
Get them
good
out.
For you.
But I
cold
forgot.
Turkey.
I forgot to throw out the Snickers bars. They were there. I'm watching the debate. I'm like, I need some chocolate.
No,
I need some chocolate.
You went to the bag of Snickers bars. How many of these did you eat?
Well, they're small. They're small. There's like 5, I believe.
Yeah,
last
but when
night.
You have when they're small like that, you wind up eating 20.
You can do
right. Disappointing.
You
Joe.
Can very.
I'll tell you what.
I don't judge you for that. I don't. I really don't.
Sometimes maybe it was the debate. Maybe it was the debate, too. I felt like I almost got into a sleep-eating situation last night.
Again?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Here he goes.
Because it was late. The debate was getting... It was late.
Well, it was like
it's after the game.
Nine,
the debate
11.
Is after. Yeah. And so I noticed this morning that there was an empty bag of Stromboli-flavored chips. Full-size bag.
No. You think it was you?
Full-sized bag of Stromboli-flavored chips that I did not remember eating.
Oh, no.
Can I tell you something, John? We're going to make this real simple. You got a problem.
You did make it real simple.
Like I don't know how serious the problem is, but it's not a problem. It's definitely something.
Right, it's unsettling. I don't
I'm
remember,
sure
and I know
is.
Some of this has to do with the sleep and having a weird sleep schedule. I know that, but this is disturbing.
That would freak me out, man. Would freak me out. All right, Conklin, what he put together related to Week 1 of the Eagles and the victory in Brazil. We'll get to that shortly. Also, time's yours. Dan in Williamstown right now. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Doing great, Dan.
Yeah, so I wanted to touch on the Eagles a little bit. I mean, it's a win. That's the first thing that matters.
Totally.
We won the game. Couple of interceptions could have been, prevented, but it's a little bit of work in progress.
Oh, that's clear. No question.
I'm more of afraid of taking sacks instead of throwing the ball away. That's what scares me a little bit. He does that a lot. He scrambles to the right and then takes a dive.
Yeah. Well,
hold on. I don't think that's fair. He scrambles to the right. He normally throws it away. I mean,
he got tackled in the red zone in this game.
There was that one, yes. Yeah.
I think he just needs to get rid of the ball instead of taking the sack once in a while.
Yeah, but my point, Dan, is I don't think he takes that many sacks needlessly. I think Carson did. I don't think Jalen does. Yes, there was the one at the end of the half. But generally, I don't think that's a big issue.
We need to stop talking about Carson.
I think Zach Bond played unbelievable.
Way too long.
For Zach Bond, I didn't even know who he was until he got here.
Never heard of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Played lights out, so I'm pretty happy with that and the defensive coordinator and our running in the middle. We're stopping the run up the middle. I love it.
Yeah, by the way, Dan, new rule. The way everyone needs to refer to this guy moving forward is Bond. Zach
Bond. Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Bond.
We're giving, strange.
We're giving this guy a James Bond sort of aura.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of close. Kind of close.
Zach Bond.
And Jalen Carter, a couple of stupid mistakes for Jalen Carter, and I can see him getting out of hand once in a while. But
he was very frustrated throughout this game.
Well, he better
and
deal with it.
It affected the way that he played.
We
haven't talked about this. He played worse because he was frustrated, and that needs to be addressed.
That's not good.
His coaches need to figure out a way to keep him dialed, motivated and focused on the problem at hand, which is just get loose, get unblocked.
All right, Dan, who did something ridiculous? Someone famous.
Now, I think when Jerry Springer was, I guess, the governor or senator or something, he wrote a personal check to a prostitute.
The mayor.
Yeah,
he
was the mayor.
Mayor of Cincinnati.
Mayor of Cincinnati. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. It really is.
We met him once.
Yep.
He was one of the coolest dudes.
Really?
Like, smart, funny, like, nothing like I imagine he would be. It was a very interesting cat.
He carved out.
Wow.
Yeah, a little niche thing for himself, man.
A whole
for real.
Thing. And coming from being an actual mayor of a real town.
Yeah.
Like, since he's not a small little...
Yeah, exactly. It's a city.
That's unbelievable. I wonder if he was the mayor, like, when the Icky Shuffle was going on.
Or when Ike was living there, maybe.
Ike was living there.
Yeah.
Or Paul Brown was with the Bengals. I don't know. All right.
Bernie Kosar. Oh, no, that's Cleveland. Bad job by me.
That is, well, you got confused because Paul Brown went from the Browns
to the
Browns.
Paul Brown was exactly what happened to me.
Tim Crumry. Remember that
injury?
Leg flop?
Oof.
That was brutal.
That was the first time I saw a leg flop like that.
That was awful.
It scarred me as a little kid.
And
I was afraid to go out and like run in the yard the next day because I was afraid I would see a kid's leg flop.
And that was in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
In the game.
Totally awful.
All right, so we're hoping the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. If they do, they're going to have to win a lot of games. Now, they won this first one, obviously, in Brazil. They did it against Green Bay. It was in some ways similar to last year in that it had an ugly component. You almost got to apologize. You don't totally, but you almost have to apologize after the game for the win. Well, Conklin sort of jokingly gets into that reality. Let's crank it up with Conklin after week one.
It's time to play Who's to Blame for That Eagles Win? Please welcome your host, Merle Reese.
Thank you, Johnny. Just a brutal victory.
I blame Cam Jurgens for those two fumbles.
That's not his fault, Mike. I blame Jason Kelce for quitting to do commercials.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Good.
Philadelphia!
I blame Sirianni.
What did he do?
Nothing.
He kept his mouth shut and stayed out of the way, right, Coach?
I bit my tongue a few times. Big Dom was there to bite my tongue for me.
I blame this win on the Giants, GM Joe Shane and owner John Mara.
For letting Saquon walk to the Eagles.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia, I'll tell you that.
Thank you, boys.
You could blame Howie Roseman.
Come on, bro. I couldn't even see the field. I was standing behind a really tall Brazilian guy. He must have been like 5'7".
Oh, that is tall.
100%, man.
How about we blame Zach Bond for this win?
No. Blame Devin White for declining the flight to Brazil.
Devin tweaked his friggin' ankle.
John Ritchie.
Our guys are so awesome. Fumbles, missed tackles, turnovers. Magnificent.
You're right, John. Hurts' two interceptions and two fumbles were the key to victory.
He's picking up right where he left off last year.
With time, the ugly duckling becomes a beautiful swan.
Oh!
Flowers grow out of manure.
Keep watering, Jalen!
So who do we blame for this Eagles win? Behind door number one is Hurts. Behind door number two, Sirianni. Behind door number three, Saquon Barkley.
That would be correct.
Yes.
That's our winner. The New York Giants management is the most to blame for this Eagles win.
Tell them what they've won, Johnny.
John Mara, you just won a king-size mattress to help you get some sleep. Tune in again next time when we play Who's Gonna Save Hurts This Week?
Well, you know,
Thank you, boys.
Bye for now.
I will say this. If the Giants keep Saquon, there is a good chance the Eagles lose the game. I mean, saying the Giants management is to blame for the Eagles' win is not it's not crazy talk. I mean, it could have happened. Anyway, we don't know what they would have done with the $13 million a year, but the bottom line is that made a big difference this game. It should throughout the season. Wonderful work by Conklin. You can see Conklin at Archbishop Wood High School in Warminster on Saturday, September 28th, later this month. Ike Reese is going to be there. Also, see Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School in Marlton, New Jersey, Saturday, October 26th. Proceeds go to the Evesham Police Foundation. Tickets for both of these events or to book Joe for a private event, joeconklin.com.
And, of course, Conklin's Comedy Night at Parks Casino every other Thursday. Tomorrow, September 12th, see Terry McNeely, Kevin Downey Jr., and Jessica Collazo. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are only $20, include a free drink. Tickets at joeconklin.com.
And, of course, you know, as James mentioned, tomorrow is September 12th. Today is September 11th. And we just want to certainly note for everyone who lost a loved one that day, our hearts go out to you. We know these anniversary days are very hard. Obviously, this one is hard for the whole nation because anyone that was old enough to experience it that day, we still and will always remember what it felt like, even if we didn't lose a loved one. For those of you listening that did, our hearts go out to you. It's a it's an important day to remember every single year. We always will. All right, let's do what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us, what do you want to say? The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if there are any geniuses in our area who think that Kyle Schwarber should not lead off.
A genius.
Yeah, I want those geniuses to call in.
Well, look, I will say this. There is still an argument that a two-run home run could ensue more often if he batted second or third or fourth. I mean, we'll never really know what it would look like if he batted second, third, or fourth, but it is working with him batting first.
So what if he's banged up for the... I mean, let's hope he gets
If he gets better. Injured for the playoffs?
Yeah.
Trey bats one.
Is it Trey? Or is it Bryson? So. Bryson, one or the other. Picking it up a little bit lately.
One or the other. It might be Bryson, so you can keep Harper three and you
Trey
go...
Trey and two, yeah.
Yeah, Trey two. That's a possibility.
Is there anything more stupid in sports than a baseball fight where the bullpens run in to the field instead of just fighting each other? Instead of running to home plate to do absolutely nothing, turn and fight the other bullpen. Like, that would be awesome.
Ah, not a bad idea.
That would be awesome. I mean, if they really wanted to fight.
Why not?
I do love
the
outfield.
They just wanted to make it look like they were supportive.
They mean center field.
Fight.
Go out there.
Yeah, you could have like two levels of fighting. You have the fighting on the infield, fighting on the outfield.
Like a battle royale. I love this.
Winner from each base is out of cage.
Do they have the bullpen on two different levels?
Yes.
Yes.
But in center field, once they stream out is the point.
Everyone just jumps down and goes at it? Okay.
Well, they stream out of the bullpen.
Yeah. But you could, if you wanted to, have one bullpen attack the other bullpen in the bullpen.
Just leap over, climb up. What a visual that is.
I like that idea.
By the way, quick bullpen knowledge. I'm sure a lot know, but many don't. For those that don't know, the Phillies' first game in Citizens Bank Park, the Phil's bullpen was closer to Ashburn Alley.
And you know who complained?
And the opposing bullpen was further down. And the Phillies pitchers did not like that the fans had the access to make their comments.
Was it Billy Wagner?
I don't know if it was him, but it was different players were like, wait a minute.
No, they went, no, yeah.
We're too
no.
close. I don't blame them. So they flipped it around, John, so then the fans could heckle the opposing team.
Well, that's smart. That
Brilliant.
Works.
You know, so
that works well.
And by the
and
way,
they certainly do.
As someone who's
glad they were open-minded to that change.
Yeah, I had a friend in the late '80s who heckled Don Carmen all the way down. Was it behind right field, James? The old Phillies bullpen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Behind right field, I think at the vet. And my buddy was giving Don Carmen the business. And then it was sad because then I got to know Don Carmen a couple years ago. I never bothered to apologize to him, but I wasn't the one that made the comment, so I had nothing to apologize for.
Congrats, Schwarbaum. Awesome stuff for an awesome guy. Concerns, Ranger, and the fact that Bryce has Stubby's warning track power. That's all he's got. Pathetic.
Well, wow. I don't know about all that.
It'll get better.
You know you're my guy, but there is no excuse whatsoever for ever rooting for the Mets unless you're playing the Cowboys.
Good point.
Well, hold on a second. Oh, you know what I learned about the Cowboys last night? Tell me who knows this one. I did not until yesterday. This is an incredible fact, John. Someone you and I were very young growing up admiring. Carl Lewis, the four golds, 84, the nine total golds, tied for the most of the 20th century. Carl Lewis in 84. If what I heard is true, in 84, drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Hold on. Also drafted by the Chicago Bulls.
What?
Why would the Bulls draft?
Why?
But they used to have more rounds. And he was the greatest athlete in the world. And he was in the same draft as Michael Jordan, unless what I was told is not true. What I heard last night, he was drafted.
So he was drafted by the Bulls. That first one is true.
Wow.
The 208th pick of the 1984 draft. I'll check the other
same
one.
Draft as Jordan. Like, in one draft, they drafted Michael Jordan and Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis. That's a great fact.
Right?
Really cool
You're
fact.
Right. Yeah. The Cowboys in the 12th round of the 1984 draft.
I had no idea.
Joe Pull.
Hey, you know, I played
That's incredible.
I played with a guy named James Jett. I don't know if you remember
James. I remember Jett.
He flew.
He was an Olympic medalist for... track and field,
Willie Gault out there too.
Totally. I think he was on
Ronaldo Neymeyer.
I think he was on their relay team. James well, Jett, Ronaldo, Nehemiah. I also play with a guy named, I can't remember his name. But a couple guys on that relay team.
Sure. By the way, James Jett was the person that scored a touchdown with the greatest call I ever heard in a broadcast. And I will tell you that.
We called him Bat. You know why?
Because he was crazy?
He looked like a bat.
Okay.
Very simple.
And with that, we shut it down.
The Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts,
right,
compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
Yes. All right. So Times Yours, obviously, every day at this time. So I think I can say this on the air. So I'm watching a football game in the late 90s.
James, I like that.
I like it less as the person in charge of the dump button, but go ahead.
All right, this gets a little dicey, but I think I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
Three-man booth, if you remember the old NBC booth that had Dick Enberg on play-by-play with Phil Simms and Paul McGuire. And I like that Paul McGuire guy. He was ornery, but it was a good crew.
Ornery's good.
So James Jett catches a touchdown pass. I think it's 80 yards. I think it's from Jeff George. I mean, that would make sense, right, John?
Sure.
Okay. So Dick Enberg was the play-by-play guy. He calls it. When the play is done, because it was a rocket of a pass from Jeff George, who obviously had maybe the best arm in football.
I'd never seen anything like it.
Phil Simms says the following after Dick Enberg calls a touchdown pass, Jeff George to James Jett. Phil Simms says, "Wow, he really cocked that one, Dick."
Wow.
There was, at a minimum, 30 seconds of silence.
Well, they had their mics off, laughing their asses off.
They all turned their mics off.
Laughing their butts off.
I heard it live. I know it happened.
Yeah. Yep.
No. I could not believe it. 30 seconds of silence minimum, because they were all obviously on the floor laughing. All right. We got to come up. And I always wondered if that was planned or not. You know what I mean? All right. So we got to come up with a winning answer for who that is famous did something ridiculous. So we got Plaxico shooting himself inadvertently. We got Pee-wee, obviously, in the movie theater. We've got Antonio Brown, although, again, I mean, that's a sad thing, because I think it's CTE, if I had to guess. Kanye on the stage with Taylor Swift. Will Smith at the Oscars a few years ago.
Will Smith is a big one.
Yeah, that's a
big
one. I was thinking Will Smith, yeah.
We can lock it in.
I think so.
When he said it, I was like, yeah, that's it, dude. Lock he it slapped in. The guy at the Oscars.
Lock it in. Will Smith was slapping
Chris Rock.
Hey, have a great rest of the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.